Okay. So what we started setting up the last few days is that more than in other mitzvahs, perhaps, the philosophy behind the mitzvah, the rationale behind the mitzvah, affects the actual implementation of the law and the actual parameters of the mitzvah. To sort of drive that home, I wanted you to see the difference first within the Rambam, and then we'll go to Tosfos, and then if we have time, we'll do the Rashba and move on from there. Okay, so the last 2 days we had done Mitzvah Nun and Mitzvah Nun Aleph in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, and the Rambam loves to say, what was Mitzvah Nun?
The multi crowd. No.
Mitzvah Nun, Lo Sechanim, thank you, was Lo Sechanim, right? Was that which we spent the whole day on. Good. And then yesterday we did Mitzvah Nun Aleph, which was Mitzvah Nun Aleph, which was Lo Yeshvu Bar Tzecha, right? And yesterday, if you remember, the focus was figuring out what is the difference between Lo Sechanim and Lo Yeshvu Bar Tzecha. But both of those, according to the Rambam, apply to who?
Apply to the seven nations. Apply to everyone.
To everyone, not totally clear. He said everyone except for Ger Toshav. Wasn't totally clear when he said everyone except for Ger Toshav, all of Ovdei Avodah Zarah. What if someone is neither Ger Toshav nor Ovdei Avodah Zarah? That's something we still haven't dealt with. But it was more expansive than the seven nations, right? And clearly included at least all idolaters, if not all non-Jews, short of Ger Toshav. Right? Okay. The two mitzvot immediately prior in the Rambam, which are derived from the same psukim, right? That same parsha, right? Yeah. Right? Were. What was mitzvah memchet?
We have a mitzvah to destroy seven nations.
Memchet.
No, you said the mitzvah.
Memchet.
Yeah. So there's a mitzvah of, how you say, that if they corrupt your, how you say, your soul, that was it talking about?
Hazhara shuz harnu milichrot brit im hakofrim minayicham shkeitim b'firatam klomar shiva amamin. It is forbidden to make a treaty with these heretical people and let them live comfortably in their heresy, meaning the seven nations. Klomar. Right? Klomar means meaning. No, klomar is like a colon. Right? This is what I am referring to. Only the seven nations. V'amru yit'ale lo tichrot lahem brit. From this we say, don't make a covenant with them. No, make a treaty with them. Don't we already said earlier that any aspect of the mitzvah against the seven nations, the war against seven nations, should be counted as a mitzvah? Again, a mitzvah no hagot l'daron and is counted as an eternal mitzvah, and therefore counts in the list. Okay, right? Because the Rambam in general holds that a non-eternal mitzvah is not counted in the list of mitzvah. I mean, any mitzvah that was only for the generation of Moshe, let's say, does not count as a mitzvah for the purpose of the Taryag. The Taryag are eternal mitzvot, right? The 613 eternal mitzvot. What's mitzvah mimtet in the Rambam?
We have a mitzvah to not destroy them.
Right. Hazarashe who's harnu, shalo lachir adam yishiv amamin. Right? Don't allow anybody from the seven nations to live kadeshali kalkalud bin adam yat umbavod zaras. They won't lead you astray. V'amro yitaleh lo techaye kol neshama. And killing them is a positive mitzvah. And if you don't, obviously if you can kill them, then you violate this prohibition. Now the Rambam in these two mitzvot, the prohibition against making a covenant, a treaty, and the prohibition to allow them to live, limits those mitzvot to who?
Seven nations.
Now, here's the framing that we've been talking about, is, wait a second, if these are derived from the same psukim, they're derived from a series of consecutive psukim, why does the Rambam limit lo tichrot brit and lo lachyot to the seven nations, and expand lo techaneim velo yeshva bar tzecha to at least all idolaters?
That's what the Tosfos is.
Good. So Tosfos is dealing with the same problem. Right, the Rambam doesn't explain why, he just explains that. Right? I mean, the Rambam just tells you, it's clear. I mean, when you put the four mitzvot in the Rambam in order, you cannot deny that this is the case.
Right.
Yes? right? Meaning clearly, Memchet Memtet, he says seven nations. Mem Nun Nun Aleph, he says all idolaters.
Yes.
Yes. So he doesn't now. But the Rambam doesn't explain. You're right. Now who explains why you would do this? That is the focus of Tosfos. Right, so let's look at Tosfos. Right. So he says, "The Amar Kra Lo Sicha Name Lo Tin Lem Chanai Bekarka Darish Nami My High Kra Besamuch Shleit Lem Chaim Shleit Lem Manach Chinam." Right. We learn this all from the same psukim. Ustama De Milta. Right, stama de milsa. Right, what does stama de milsa mean? Stama de milta.
It's a...
The simplest understanding, right? Stama de milsa, right? Is what? Mairi bikulu ovdei kochavim. That we are dealing with all idolaters. Meaning, not just the seven nations. But then he has a problem. What's the problem? Not only is it weird to distinguish between Lo Tichrot Brit and Lo Zechaya Kol Neshama, to put it in the Rambam's terms, the context is the same. They're two consecutive psukim, right? Meaning the whole context of Lo Tichanim is in the middle of the war that we're supposed to have against the seven nations. So Tosfos says, I understand, Vikasha. Right? The context in the Pasuk is the seven nations. Dichsiv. How does he know? Because the Pasuk says, it says, and you'll drive out these nations from in front of you. The Chiti, etc. Meaning the seven nations. Uksiv. And then we introduce Lo Sechanim. And then you have another prohibition after the Lotit Chatein Bam, which is don't marry them. Which in Yevamos we limit to the seven nations. That even after they convert, the seven nations remain forbidden to marry. So therefore, it's only the seven nations that Chumrah, namely that you can't marry, right, even after conversion, applies to the seven nations. The sugya is complicated, but we'll just follow Tosfos for now. Uksiv od basrei, but we call those he didn't live, no. And afterwards, it says, don't give your daughter to their sons. V'amrim v'sof perakam ad-yevamos, v'sof ha-omer b'kedushin, d'l'abonan, d'l'odarshi, kiyos, d'l'rabos, kol masir, and lo'yavin ma'ikrosh, shar-humos. That according to the Rabbanan, in Kiddushin, that doesn't apply to all nations. That even that is only about the seven nations. That intermarriage is only about the seven nations. And similarly, don't allow any of them to live. Right? So Tosfos is a more elaborate version of the question I asked in the Rambam, which is, if Lo Tichros Bris and Lo Sechanim are all derived from the same psukim, then how is it that Lo Tichros Bris and Lo Sechaya Kol Neshama, right, meaning Mem Ches and Mem Tes in the Rambam, don't make a covenant with them, don't make a treaty with them, and don't let them live, applies only to the seven nations, and Lo Sechanim, which is in the same psukim, applies to all of the Avodah Zarah at least. Right?
Okay.
Right, that's Tosfos' question, is how do you have two consecutive psukim that introduce four prohibitions, of which two only apply to the seven nations, and two, right, or one which is there, one which is Mishpatim, but fine, right, the Rambam meaning has four. Why would you do that? Why are some limited to the seven nations and some not? Right, that's the question. And what is Tosfos' answer?
Want me to say it outside, or we're going to do it?
The first tell me outside, then we'll read inside. What's the answer? You know what, I know you know, because we did it together. Donnie, what is Tosfos' answer?
No, so like you said last time,
you have one sentence.
Huh?
You have one sentence. One sentence.
Don't
one.
Add words to it. Just be straight.
One. Yes, I don't want beating around the bush. One sentence. What is Tosfos' answer?
We don't want him to assimilate with us.
In other words,
That we don't want to.
In other words, it makes sense. It makes sense. Right. Remember, this was. Why was I hawking this? Right, this over and over yet the last 2 days, right? Why was I knocking this into your heads? Right? That in Lo Sechanim specifically, the Rishonim assume that while in some areas of Torah there's a distinction between the vas and the farvas, between the why and the what. In Lo Sichanim, there is not. Again, why not? Why do they assume that? What drives them to distinguish Lo Sichanim from other Isurim? Why do they think there's no gap between the what and the why?
But in that, to...
Why in Lo Sichanim? Why? Why?
It only makes sense.
So, a lot of things only make... A lot of things you could say that about. But normally, we don't change juridically the mitzvah based on the philosophy. Why here do we change the halacha based on what makes sense?
Because he said it's only benefit, because it's beneficial to...
Well, why here do we care? Normally, you don't care about the why. Why do we care about the why here? Because the pasuk says pen. Because the pasuk tells you that the what is defective by the why.
These, like, straightforward.
It's a pasuk. Yes.
I'm overthinking it. And
yes, you're overthinking it. I'm trying to get you just to think straight, right? That the pasuk tells you, don't do it because it will lead you astray.
Right.
Right. And therefore, I think that's what led the Rishonim to believe that if God connected the what and the why. And they should connect to the what and the why.
Yeah, that's probably a good
it's
idea.
It's a good reason.
It's a great reason.
Right? And therefore, Tosfos says, V'yesh lomar devada v'chol hanach krai ikat taima rabba. Right? He says, why are some of these mitzvot limited to the seven nations and some not limited to the seven nations?
Because
it makes sense. Right. That's it. That's it. Nothing. Don't overthink.
I know.
Right? Don't overthink it.
I was about to there.
Right? Don't overthink it. Right? He says, look. Said, look, it doesn't make sense to limit Lo Sichanim only to the seven nations, and it doesn't make sense to expand Lo Techaya Kol Neshama beyond the seven nations.
Wait, look, I mean, don't make a trade.
Why? Right? He says, so the pasuk tells you explicitly that other nations, you are allowed to let live,
but we.
And if you make a treaty with them, you could they could make them your servants or your tributes, right? Make them pay tribute to you, right? Make them vassal nations,
right?
Like, who did that? Which king in Jewish history, in fact, had a tremendous number of vassal states? Like, you know, subsidiary kingdoms, right? Who paid him tribute? What?
Like Jewish king? Or?
Yes, Jewish king.
Okay.
Shlomo. Yes, good. Shlomo.
Yes.
Right, Shlomo. Right, Shlomo HaMelech. V'chein ki yasir l'rabban lo nashi time in the kram. Svaru hu legu shibit le'uk me b'sheva umo hosti mesire tvei. Right? And he says, even the prohibition against intermarriage according to the Rabbanan, even though they're not Dorish time in the kram, he's saying this is not according to the position that in general, there is a machlokes in general. Between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, of Darshin and time of the Kral, ain't Darshin and time of the Kral. Meaning, for now, do we allow the philosophy behind the mitzvah to affect its implementation? Right, that is a general machlokas. We said, even if you don't, right, in this case, right, we seem to. Right, the look may shiva umos the mesirei tvei vechen loschadim like mukumel the shiva umos recall shar umos ma turn love of called begerus and he says I know that the limitation. I'll skip the first one, but the second one of marrying even a convert only applies to seven nations. Because I know that everybody else is allowed to convert and marry Jewish. Right? That's just a given. The Torah says that. Right? Right? It's only the Sheva Umot who can't. Right? Mitzrayim has to wait three generations, but by implication, the average non-Jew, if he converts, he can marry a Jew immediately. Right, immediately.
Doesn't the conversion itself take go in moderation,
though? I said, once he converts.
Oh, once he's fully converted.
Yes, once he converts. Right, meaning a Mitzri, even after he or she converts, right, it takes three generations. Right? You can't marry.
Generation.
Yes, you can't.
But even the kid is
you can't.
Not, the kid's not
you can't marry them or their kids or their grandkids.
The kid's not. The child.
Well, that's for the 70.
No, that's for Mitzrayim.
Oh.
But converts right? Now, the child still isn't considered like of the father. Like, if you call him up, you have to say just his name.
Not if he was born after.
After he converted?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yes, I'm sure.
Wait.
If,
I mean,
if a convert has a child, it is his child. There is no machloket. No, no, no. If the child is born after conversion, right? Meaning after he's converted, he then has
a child.
It's his child, Right? It's just that if his child doesn't convert with him...
What if the mom isn't Jewish and she converted? Then they don't... You can't give their name as if they're from the father?
If the child was born when the mother was not Jewish?
No, the mom converted, but she was...
If the mother converted and then had a child, then the child is Jewish, is the mother's child and the father's child. Mm-hmm. There's no machlokas about this.
Wasn't there a story like that? Like, a kid... He found out that his mom was not...
There are many stories like that. But if in fact the mother is Jewish, when she becomes pregnant and has the child is Jewish.
Right.
Is the child of his parents for all halachic purposes. Right? No. No. Don't ask. There is no such exception. If someone is born... You can have a case where someone is born
not Jewish,
and the whole family converts together. You have a case where the mother was pregnant and converted while pregnant, right? Which is a bit of a discussion. Right?
That is something to discuss about.
Then the father, right? And while the father was not Jewish, then they converted. Whatever, right? You could have complicated cases, but a normal case, right, where the child is born became pregnant when both the mother and father were Jewish.
No problem.
Right? They are. Of course, not only is it not a problem, they are the child of the parents, right?
Okay, my youth women, I did not call them. There were three kids, sons of converts. No, I was told you call them up just their name. You don't say Ben and their father.
Well, that's.
So I want to see why. Now I want to see why.
I mean, it could be that they all converted together. It could be that it was a family of converts. Right? I mean, it could be that the family. That they were born non-Jewish, and then the whole family converted, right? That's a different story.
It could be himself he converted.
Or the person converted by himself, right? Obviously, if someone converts by himself, right, that's different. But he says that limitation on... So that limitation on not marrying even Gerim only applies to seven nations, except for those nations that there's a three-generation gap, right? Aval, he said, okay. So he says, look, that makes sense. Because look, the fact that I'm not allowed to leave anybody alive from the seven nations obviously only applies to the seven nations. Because everybody else I'm allowed to leave alive. How do I know? Because the Torah says that I'm allowed to leave them as tribute. Right? To pay tribute to me. Right? Like Shlomo did.
Right.
He says, Aval mat nad chinam unusinas chen vechanaya ein shum tam lechalek bin shar ov dekom neshiva amimin. But there is no reason that should apply only to seven nations, not to everyone else. Right? It says, Miu kasha decreases brish, cause of Ezel losichonim, ibishar umos, ire, cause of gabeshom, mechir, melchrov, yechsu brish, nehem, vodamash, vokoshar umos, who's all creases brish, dog, begavonim, bekirviata. He said, but wait a second. I don't understand. Lo tichrot brit and lo sechanim are literally two consecutive psukim. Mm-hmm. So how is it that lo tichrot brit is limited to the seven nations, but lo sechanim is not? He said, lo tichrot brit is not milo kaya, but shavamos. Okay, that's true. He said, you're right, they're two consecutive psukim, but it's okay. Right? And then he says, and then you'll ask me, but he comes back to this, I don't get it. These are two consecutive psukim. How is it that Lo Tichrot Brit only applies to the seven nations, but Lo Sechanim applies to all non-Jews, right? Or maybe all idolaters. Again, we'll come to that in a second. And again, what does he say? What's his answer again?
It makes sense.
The time of Rabba Ika. He said, it makes a lot of sense, because in the end of the day, it's logical. V'inyana dikra nami muchach. And he says, it's not just it makes sense. How do I know it makes sense? Because the context of the psukim point in this direction. Because the pasuk says, you will drive out stronger nations than yourself. Destroy them. Don't make a covenant with them. He said it makes sense that the people who during war you have to kill, you can't make a treaty with.
Right.
He said that's one logic to it, meaning, right? If you think Lotichro's bris is a function of Losachaya kol neshama, right? Meaning, if during war I have to kill you, then what's not worth, the very least I can't do is make a treaty with you.
What do you mean by it?
Right, meaning if I'm supposed to kill someone, that means I'm not supposed to make a treaty with them. Right? He said that's logical. And he said it also makes sense, broadly speaking, because maybe the seven nations were Aduke, Babos, Chamim, Tvei, Al, Sharam, Islam. Maybe they were really, really entrenched in idolatry. And that's why we are so, so adamant to keep them away. But Tosfos, in a nutshell, says, why is it that Lotichot Brit and Lotichayek Kol Neshama are limited to the seven nations, but Lotichaneim in all its manifestations is not, and it is expanded to all idolaters?
Because it makes sense.
Because it makes sense, and as we've established over, correct, it makes sense. And again, as we've at this point said several times, what is one of the things that is unique about Lotichaneim is that the Rishonim, and I, now, right, remember I told you, right, this was one of those things. I said, I'm setting it up carefully and slowly in the last two shiurim, so when we see it in Rishonim, it doesn't surprise you. Well, here it is in Tosfos, right? And it better not be surprising you at this point, because it makes
it's pretty surprising if it's
sense, right? Yes, I would hope it doesn't surprise you. Now, let's skip for a moment to page 3 here. Okay, this is, again, I've given you Olamot before. We're not going through all of them, but again, it was just easier because, well, A, it was easier because they put everything together. B, it was easier because we had a blackout for a bit last night, which does make it harder to make source sheets. So, this was an easier way of doing it. Look at page 3 of the Rashba. Now, as we said, right, once you say that Lo Sechanim is based on the logic, right, the philosophy behind it, so then we raise the possibility, okay, it once you say it's based on the philosophy, so the smog limited it to the seven nations. But no one else accepts that, right? No one else limits the seven nations because Lama. Right? It makes no sense to limit only the seven nations.
In terms of which?
Lo Sechanim. Right?
Oh, okay.
Right? All the manifestation of Lo Sechanim. It doesn't make sense to limit to the seven nations. And therefore, everyone, right? No one really goes in that direction of limiting to the seven nations. Mm-hmm. But then we said, okay, but who does it apply to? And now here we have multiple logical possibilities. Because Tosfos says it applies to all idolaters. But now I got to ask you the question. Logically, does it apply to non-Jews or not idolaters? What do you think?
Non-idolaters.
So, well, now we got to be
careful. Right.
So now we got to be careful.
Says the whole thing, like, we don't want them to...
So remember, we talked about this a little bit yesterday. So, now we have two questions. One is, how linked is the what and the why? Right? Meaning, yes, the Torah says it's about idolatry, but does that mean it's really only idolaters? Right? Or it's just not just the seven nations, but right, there's not a total overlap between the what and the why. And once we say it's usher for all non-Jews, idolaters are not, barring Ger Toshav. Right? Even if you think that the mitzvah is indeed tied to the philosophy. So you remember, if you take a limited view of the psukim, namely that the only thing we're worried about is you performing idolatry, so then it should be limited to
only
idolaters. But you remember the Reim? Right? What did the Reim say? Right, that what are we concerned about? Not just idolatry, but Rishut. Right, that you're going to be influenced by any of their evil actions.
Right.
Once you make an expansive claim like that,
it applies to everyone.
Then it might apply even to non-idolaters. Right, so there's two reasons, right? Why would you limit it to idolaters? It's easy. Right? You have to make two assumptions. Wait one second. Yeah. Why would you limit it to idolaters? You have to make two assumptions. One is that there's an overlap of what and why.
Right.
Right? Meaning, since Lo Sechanim is meant to prevent you from being led astray after Avodah Zarah, it makes sense philosophically that it should be limited to idol worshippers. And if you think there's a total overlap between the what and the why, then if it makes sense to limit it to idolaters, then we will limit it to idolaters. If you want to expand it beyond idolaters, there are two reasons you would do that. Either like the Urayim, meaning philosophically you think that Lo Sechanim isn't only trying to make you avoid Avodah Zarah, but is trying to keep you on the straight and narrow, and therefore barring a Ger Toshav, who's basically a non-Jew who's bought into the Jewish philosophy of life, he just hasn't converted. Barring a Ger Toshav, anybody else, if you get too close to them, you let them live next to you, you give them presents, you praise them, that's going to lead you astray. right? Or, right, you say, no, even if there's some level of overlap between what and why, it's not complete. Sometimes the what will be true even when the why
is not.
And we have this all the time. Right, this is obvious. We have this all the time. Right, think of that. We have it all the time, right? Like, if you think, again, I'm not going to put my name behind this, obviously, but if you think that the point of kashrus is that we want to help you control your appetite, right? So then shouldn't it be, right? We want you not to be a glutton. So, right, exactly. You'll say, oh, does that mean that all cake is treif? And as long as you have pig in moderation, it's mutter. Obviously not, right? Say whatever svara you want, right? The halacha is that the cake with the OU on it is kosher, right? And the piece of pig, right? Even if it's healthy, right? It's not kosher, right? There's no, right? There's whatever the why is, I don't care what the why is, right? Kosher is a set of what's. Is it or is it not? Is the Rabbanut of Schleswig-Holstein good? I don't know, right? Donnie hasn't gotten back to me. I don't know. Right? Are they, you know?
Well, I told you, Rabbi, some in progress.
We couldn't tell. We couldn't tell. We don't know. Right? We don't know. Right? That's not a psak. I just don't know. But that's a what question. Right? But here, you could say, look, yes, the svara, yes, the philosophy of the mitzvah is that it's meant to have you avoid avodah zarah. But in the end of the day,
what do you mean?
In the end of the day, what?
To avoid.
It's something you need to avoid. No, you need to avoid it.
Right, but in the end of the day, still, you might think that the law is more expansive than the philosophy.
Okay.
Right? Just like we have everywhere else in halacha. Right? I've given this example before. Let me give it one more time, then Donna makes your point. Right? Why can't you run a red light? Why are you supposed to stop at a red light?
Because you might crash into someone.
Because you might crash into a car, you might run over a pedestrian, whatever.
I was just thinking of the ticket.
No. Why does the law exist?
Yeah, it's so you don't get into an accident.
Good. What happens if it's 3 o'clock in the morning and it's a perfectly clear night so you can see in both directions, right? And you see that there's no car or person coming for 5 miles, and you therefore run the red light. But there's a camera there that takes a picture of your license plate, and they send you a ticket in the mail. And then you come to the judge and say, "Oh, judge, look, we all know that the reason you can't run a red light is because you might crash into another car or you might run over a pedestrian. There was no pedestrian or car in sight." Therefore, it should be legal for me to run the red light.
Yeah.
What will I say to you?
You're an idiot.
Yeah, you're an idiot. Because even if we agree on the why,
the what is the what?
It doesn't matter, right? And therefore, like I said, there are two reasons why you might think that Lo Sechaneim applies to all non-Jews, whether or not they're idolaters. One is because you think, like the Urayim, that the philosophy isn't just avoid idolatry, but it's avoid any problematic relationship with non-Jews.
He's not an idolater, right?
According to the Urayim, right? The Urayim would say that maybe part of the philosophy is not just avoid idolatry, but avoid problematic things non-Jews do. So therefore, you might say, look, the why applies. Right? He may not be an idolater, but he doesn't eat kosher. He doesn't have to, right? He's allowed to not eat kosher. Right? But if I hang around with him too much, I might end up eating not kosher. Right? Or you just say, no, there's some level of split between the why and the what. And just like the judge will say to you, too bad. I don't care if there was no car in sight. You ran the red light, you're getting a ticket. The halacha might say, I don't care if he's not an idolater. In the end of the day, I said, Lo Sechaneim. Right? Don't give free gifts to non-Jews. I don't care if he's an idolater or not. Yes, what drove it was that we were worried about idolaters. But, right, I mean, yes, we were worried about idolaters, but the way we set up the law is don't give gifts to any non-Jew, barring a ger toshav, right?
But then you go back to the whole thing. but if it's beneficial.
Matnas chinam. We haven't gotten there yet. Slowly. Right, we haven't gotten yet to what is a matnas chinam. This is our third day only figuring out to who does this even apply. We haven't gotten yet to what is it that we're talking about. Good. So, who is the one who takes both assumptions, namely that the philosophy is connected to the halacha, and the philosophy is simply a void of Ojazara, and therefore, if someone is not an idolater, it is permitted?
The Rashba.
The Rashba. Good. So you look at number, you look at the tshuva and the Rashba. He says, "Umashem shaal mimcha nar v'shalech adam yerech lenachri." He said, how could it be the Gemara in Chulin records a case where they sent a gift to a non-Jew? Aren't you not allowed to do that? You raise two possibilities. One is that it wasn't chinam, which we're going to come back to. Namely, that it wasn't for no reason, Yosef. It was because he'd done something nice for you, so you were doing something nice for him. Right? So hold that thought, because we're not going to get to that today. Right? Which is what defines a matnat chinam. Right? That was possibility one, but I want to focus on the second one.
What did you say again?
Right, meaning the person who asked the question said he thought there were two reasons why it might have been mutter to send a gift to this guy. One is that it's only also if it's a matnat chinam, meaning a gift for no reason, and in this case there was a good reason, namely the guy had sent him a gift, so he was reciprocating. Right, we're going to come back to that notion that matnat chinam means only chinam for no reason. But the second one is maybe it was a guy who was not an idolater. And he says, Yafe Amarta, you're right. You're right. Umikra male diber akaz, if it's a pasuk. La gera bishir bisharecha tiknena vachala machar lenachri. One second. So skip down to the three lines from the bottom. Right, so first he introduces Matnat Chinam, but the end is Amrinu Perek Basar Devo Dezara, Deb Yehuda Shader Korbana, Vidin Rabbi Yom Edo, Amar Yadana Beid Lo Palach Lavo Dezara. Right, he says that the case, the Gemara, the end of the era of Dezara had said that, how did Rava send a gift to Bar Sheshach? Right, and how did Rabbi Yehuda send a gift to, right, on the holiday, because he knew that he wasn't an idolater. Right? He wasn't an idolater. Right? And therefore,
it was okay.
Good. And we'll come back to this Rashba, the Chinam point. Right? But the Rashba also limits it to Ovdei Avoda Zara. And if you now turn to page 4 here. Right? Look at the tour, the underlined part. I know you didn't do this, but it's easy now that we've set it up. That's why I'm not worried about it.
Right.
See the underlined part of the tour? Remember the tour of Yaakov Balaturim?
Yes.
Asur litein matnas chinem lovei odava dezara v'motor litein legertoshev jerim mitzvah lachyoso. Right? You can give a gift to an idolater, but you can do a gertoshev. And the Beis Yosef says, look at the Beis Yosef at the end. Got it? The end. What does he say? Lav lafuke yishma'elim. Right, the Beis Yosef disagrees, and he says this doesn't exclude yishma'elim, Muslims.
Where are we?
Sorry.
Here. Oh, okay, fine.
Right, I mean, the Rashba seems to limit it to idolaters. Right? But the Beis Yosef says, no, I don't agree.
Includes
lav lafuke yishmeilim and lafuke gertoshav. Da'inish gibel avshem mitzvos b'nei noach v'zeh shana mitzvum lachyoso v'shar goyim kulam din echor bohem lohem. Right, the Beis Yosef says we don't accept this kula. We say that the Isser is to all non-Jews, barring a gertoshav, even Muslims who are monotheists.
Right.
The Bach as well says this in on the right hand side. He says, Ulfi Dvarav, he said, if the Beis Yosef is right, again, look at the underlined part. Kasha, Lomali Lerabbeinu Lichtov, Laovid Avodazar, Velazin Michal, Shavinu Lemai Gishmeilem, if we don't paskin like the Rashba. Meaning, we think that it is usher to all non-Jews Except for a ger toshav, because of the formal prohibition. Right, Yosef?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I don't know.
Right? So then why did the Torah say something which might trick us? Namely, why did he say it's usher to sell, to give gifts to idolaters? If by idolater he didn't mean idolater, he meant
everyone.
All non-Jews, then why say idolater? Isn't that confusing? So tell me. Why would he do it?
Because he considers everyone that's...
Nah, it never happened. He said it was a censor. It's because of the censorship. Remember? Like in the church, I look at our books.
Censoring.
Who says this?
Right? What? The Bach. No, no, not the Rashba.
Oh,
okay. He said, it must be the real Gersa is Goy. Right? So therefore you have a Machlokes.
Even though the Rashba clearly writes.
Oh, so good. Now this is something that Rashi Weiss points out. That the most poskim, right? Most poskim, the classical poskim, the Tur, the Beis Yosef, right? As understood by the Beis Yosef and the Bach, thinks that at the end of the day, do we reduce this halacha to its svara? And therefore only apply it to actual idolaters?
No.
No, most don't accept the Rashba's limitation.
Right.
Right? And if you look at the bottom half of the page, right, Shulchan Aruch, says, right, Asr liten manaschinim lobeit kochavim, right, she'eno makiro. And if you look at the shach, you see the shach on the right-hand side?
Yep.
Shach, right-hand side, yep. Says, Kazava Beis Yosef, Dechol Ovid Kochavim B'mashma Fil Yishmael. Right, this is all non-Jews, including
the Arabs.
Right, and Muslims, meaning Muslims. Who are monotheists.
Lafuki
Ger Toshav Delo Upashadu. Not only does he think this is true, he thinks it's obvious.
Right,
it is obvious that it includes all non-Jews, that it's not limited. Again, whether that's because he thinks the law surpasses the reason, right, transcends the reason, or because, like the array, and he thinks the reason actually applies, though my tendency is to think most of them just think it's a formal halacha on the end of the day. And as much as it's affected by the tam, it's not ad hasof, mm-hmm. Right? Not every last detail has to work in with the svara, right? The majority position in standard poskim, in, right, in Beis Yosef, Shulchan Aruch, Shach, is that it includes all non-Jews, even monotheists. Right? Even monotheists.
Interesting.
Correct?
Yep.
However, right, however, Rav Asher Weiss notes, it's not here.
Oh.
Rav Asher Weiss notes that there is a minhag, right? There was a minhag in Eretz Yisrael, right? There was a minhag amongst post-gay Eretz Yisrael, that you find in many Sfarim that were written in Eretz Yisrael, were written about Helchot Eretz Yisrael, that attest to the fact that the Minhag was like the Rashba.
Right.
The Minhag was like the Rashba. To say that, no, it's only idolaters that these prohibitions apply to, but permitted selling land, let's say, to Muslims.
And how is meaning, that church?
What?
Meaning
that despite the fact that Shulchan Aruch says, and the Shach, follow the stricter read, namely that when we apply manas chinam and chanaya bakarka and all that, that we apply that to all non-Jews.
Okay.
There were many poskim, even though it's not in Shulchan Aruch, who accepted the Rashba against Shulchan Aruch, okay, and said, no, it's limited to idolaters, nafkamina being Muslims, who are not idolaters.
Yeah.
Correct. And therefore, right, but you got to understand, one of the factors you will hear consistently in the discussions in modern poskim, right?
What we're doing now.
Is, right, can you bring into the discussion this Rashba? Meaning, just because if Shulchan Aruch said, because according to Shulchan Aruch, whatever, right, let's take the example of selling land.
What do you mean, how can you bring the Rashba into discussion? He's a
Rabbi. Correct, but Shulchan Aruch class is not that way. But you'll see, many modern poskim will say that we are willing to accept
you
as a possibility.
All the Rabbi opinions you don't want to hear, and you leave in all the opinions you want.
No. Like, it's not just random, right? They
met. Like,
okay, in general, 90% of the time, right? How do we poskim based on which shitot?
Shulchan
Aruch and the Nosei Kelim,
right?
Right. So for here, there's always a rishon you'll find who said something,
right?
Right? So the question that modern poskim deal with is, can we bring the Rajah back into the discussion? And many poskim, and again, that piece that I gave you from Rasher Weiss, I didn't give you this part of it, but in part of the tshuva, what he does is he notes that the minhag of poskim, right, many poskim Eretz Yisrael was, in fact, to poskim like the Rashba, right, to limit it to idolaters, and therefore permit selling land, let's say, to Muslims, right? And therefore, in modern halachic discourse, you will see that part of the discussion will be, do we have to poskim like the strict read in Shulchan Aruch, or are we allowed to follow this minhag of post-Eretz Israel like the Rajba? And often that'll be one of the factors in Psak. One of them.
The thing is that nowadays, Rabbi, I mean, like the Orthodox Church now also in Israel, they own also a lot of land.
And that's a big problem.
It's a problem, yeah.
Yes, it's a big problem.
So?
It's a big problem. Yes. Yes, and I have written an article about this, and I've said this. I don't know how many times I've mentioned the fact that I've written an article in English on this topic.
Basically, if you have a question on anything,
no, we've come back to this article several times. That yes, right, whether any of this will help for Christians, right? Meaning, even if you rely on the Rajba, that will only help you for potentially for Muslims. It won't necessarily help you for Christians, depending on how you define Christianity. Well, yeah, which, if you remember, we beat our head, right? We've done this.
We said Christians might not be like...
Correct, and that's part of the question. Now, we'll also see that there may be, maybe, one could distinguish even within the three branches of Los Achanim, right, between who it applies to, right? That's another possibility. But so far, all we've done...
each individual thing and apply it to...
Correct, to different types of non-Jews.
But most all things fall under Los Achanim.
And that's why it would be difficult. Los Achanim
falls under to all these...
Correct. Yes.
Also, like you said, also, there's a difference what kind of Christians also you sell
land. Yeah, we have talked about this. You don't have to keep coming back. I know. I've said it. No. We've done it. No. Yes. Remember at the beginning of the year, I said it's important that if we're going through Avodah Zarah, we establish whether or not Christianity is Avodah Zarah. Every time we qualify this, yes, if you think that the Isser is limited to Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and you think that Christians are Ovdei Avodah Zarah, then it will apply to them. If you think they're not Ovdei Avodah Zarah, so then you could bind the Rashba and the position of the Ramah, and then it wouldn't apply to them, then it might depend.
In other words, you could make like a sort of gray zone for them.
You could! The question is, do we pask in that way?
Yeah.
All the factors... Look, I'm hoping that by the end of going through these sugyas, if you pick up a modern halacha discussion of this, you will at least understand where all the factors are coming from. Because at this point, we have seen them.
Right, but it doesn't. There is no mitzvah to destroy them, though. So there's no mitzvah to kick them out of our land. It only applies to the seven nations.
But they have a desara.
We said only the seven nations.
No, that's the people. Oh, but the houses of a desara. Right, the houses of Avodah Zarah, there's a mitzvah to destroy.
I thought it's just you can't sell to them. Like, if they already
No, a house of Avodah Zarah in Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah to destroy, actively.
Oh, okay, fine, I got it.
Right? That's a different, which is not, again, I'm not getting to that sugya.
Right.
Right, which is why I keep saying, if you're interested, if you're actually interested, go to the article, because I am not going through that sugya.
Right, I got that.
Right? I'm not doing that right now. Right? Maybe we'll do it. It's not a sugya here, it's a sugya much later in the Masechta, much later. Right, we're only in Daf Chav. That's a sugya in Daf Mem Hey.
Oh boy!
Right, we're not right. And we're I don't know if I would skip right to that. I don't know if I want to. Okay. So far, all we did today, right? It seems like a lot. It really wasn't a lot. Was to point out that the Rambam distinguishes between Los Chayan Kol Neshama L'Sichos Bris and Los Achanim and Lo Yishuv Bar Tzecha. The first two he divides to only the seven nations, and these he doesn't.
The question is,
why? So we noted from Tosfos that there seems to be, at least in this halacha, a deep overlap between the what and the why. And since Los Chayan Kol Neshama and Los Yishuv Bris are about waging war against the seven nations in the land of Israel, it makes sense that that's limited to the seven nations. Mm-hmm. But Los Achanim and Lo Yishuv Bar Tzecha, which is about not having non-Jews among you, not giving them the Israel, whatever, right? That makes sense to everybody. And that's why everyone, except for Nei Desmag, right, agree that that applies to more than just the seven nations.
Right.
But then the second question is, okay, but how far do we take this overlap?
Do we say,
it's only Ovdei Avodah Zarah, which is the Rashba? Or do we say, either because law transcends its philosophy, or because the philosophy is not just, we don't want you to be an idol worshiper, we don't want you to be exposed to problematic non-Jewish culture, idolatrous or not, right? If you hold either of those two formulations, then the Isser Lo Sechanim would apply not only to idolaters, but even to any non-Jew who's not actually a Ger Toshav, right? That the former position is the Rashba, that's limited to idolaters. The latter position is Shulchan Aruch, right? Is Shach.
By Ger Toshav, you mean by somebody who doesn't perform
any... No! A Ger Toshav, in the simplest understanding, is someone who formally accepted the Sheva Mitzvah Noach in front of a Bezdin.
So he renounced the other... His other
in front of Bezdin. Yeah. Right, now, there is a lot of discussion in modern Psak as to maybe for these purposes, and this would be a and this is a fudgy category, right? And but you see it a lot in modern Psak, but since you're mentioning it now, I'll bring it up. Yeah. One of the moves that is made by many modern poskim is to say, look, even though technically even though technically for the Rambam, in order to be a Ger Toshav, the non-Jew has to come in front of Bezdin and formally accept the Sheva Mitzvos, maybe in this case we can have a more expansive definition of Ger Toshav, such that it could include Muslims as not being prohibited. Maybe, right? Maybe. And there's another svara that people throw in, and you should at some point yell this at me, but apparently you forgot it, right? What is the other shita that anybody who wants to be Mekel Bismanazeh is going to throw at us? What shita do you think? Right, what shita do you think? Right, there's one more shita that has to be in play. Who is that going to be?
I don't know. Well, I do, just subconsciously.
The Me'iri. Remember the Me'iri? That none of these prohibitions apply to anyone who's Gdurim B'Gidrei Hadatot, who's civilized, right? Someone who wants to have a blanket out there, which is going to have a kula not just for Muslims, but for Christians as well, is obviously going to pull out the Me'iri, right? And that's why we spent time on the Me'iri at the beginning of the year. I just don't want to have to go back to the Me'iri from beginning to end every single time.
What you said, pull out, what do you mean by pull out?
Like they're going to use it.
Ah.
They're like, pull it out of their bag of tools, right? Right? The Me'iri is a tool to be Me'ikel. Now, again, there are obviously other Rishonim. The Chinuch we already read seems to pasken like the Rashba, that is limited to Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Right? Okay, fine. Good for today. I think that's good. We've established it. We did slowly, hopefully. Yes?